Well, how are you doing? Good. I'm doing pretty well. And for those of you who are new around here, I'm Ben. I'm the lead pastor. I was gone earlier this summer, back last week, and really going to be back for the rest of the summer. I'm really cognizant of the fact that sometimes working weekends, I don't get as much time with my kids as I would like to have with them. And so last month or so, we were spending a ton of time together as a family. Finally, I knew it was time to come back off of vacation when my youngest daughter, she said, "Dad, too much family time. You're driving us away." And so I'm going to be here, whether I like it or not, for the rest of the summer. And I am going to, for the first time, I'm moving from quill and parchment to preaching on a tablet. I'm using my new Surface 3. I had a Surface 1 and finally decided to move to the modern age. Now, I'm not sure how well it's going to go. I might lose the notes somewhere right in the middle. In fact, I wanted to become an expert on Windows 8. And so I actually did all the online tutorials. I went to the Microsoft Store and took classes on how to use it, because I wanted to become me and a bunch of senior saints. That was pretty much it there. And so really trying to learn how to use it. So if there's some problem in the sermon, if the sermon is not amazing today, just know it really was incredible. It was just a technology problem that we had. Well, we're in this series called Tripwire, and the premise behind Tripwire is this. If we were going to look at the plan that God has for us, especially when we say yes to Jesus Christ, that he wants to prosper us, not to harm us, to give us a hope and a future. And for some of you, this isn't the message that you heard about the Christian faith growing up, or maybe as you met other Christians, you heard quite a different message than that. And I hope that you will understand not only the scriptures, but the heart of God for you. And our theme verse really is a summation that comes after Hebrews chapter 11. And Hebrews chapter 11 is known as the Hall of Faith. There's examples of people, despite trials and tribulation, unfair circumstances, they have this incredible life-giving faith. And so after giving after example, then we really have this summation, which is the theme verse for this series, Tripwire. Let's look at that together. It says in Hebrews 12:1, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us." Now, if you'll go back on the screen a little bit, we're going to focus primarily on what it says here, where it says, since we're surrounded by such a huge cloud of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down. There are sins that trip us up. Those are a little easier to recognize. But I think what can be even more corrosive, because we don't see it, there's the things that are not helpful but aren't quite on maybe the big sin list that you have in your mind, that keep us from that life that God wants each of us to have in Jesus Christ. We looked last week at boredom. What's the deal with boredom? Why is that such a big deal? Well, because when we start to live this listless faith, we start to question, hey, is Jesus even real? Is he real in my life? When we don't live out the purpose that God has for each and every one of us. And today what I want to look at is the tripwire of flying solo. And many of us are tempted to fly solo in our faith. I mean, we sort of have this idea that we have these individual rights, which as a nation is really important, that no one should mess with us, you know, that I have my right to my life, and I sort of cocoon myself, and no one can mess with me except for maybe those homeowners association Nazis that get involved every once in a while. But I am my own God sometimes. See, that's what happens. Now, I'm not talking particularly on the grand spiritual level, but how we live out that faith. George Gallup, from the Gallup Organization, wrote this concerning about people who fly solo. He says, connections we've discovered between human friendships, spiritual maturity, church satisfaction, and even feelings of intimacy with God are absolutely remarkable. So if you want a great deep faith in God, you have to ask this question. This is what we're going to start out with, our big question. Who is on your team? Who is on your team? Not just who's in your life, who are your coworkers, but who's the person, the people who are helping you propel forward in your faith? And why is this important? Because there are certain things you can't do on your own. Number one, you can't have mutual encouragement on your own. You can't encourage yourself. You need someone else to be there for you. Solomon, the wisest man in the world, he was surrounded by lots of people, but he knew that he needed people who would specifically encourage him in his life. It says this in the book of Proverbs. Anxiety weighs down the heart, but a kind word cheers it up. So we know that we need that kind word, and that kind word comes from people. And he talked about the shallow kind of relationships that we can have that really don't make a difference. We read in Proverbs 18:24, it says, one who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. See, there's a kind of friendship that only comes when we have something deep in common. And that, I would say, is our journey in Jesus Christ together. Another thing you can't do by yourself is number two, and it's spiritual growth. Now, I know some people would say, oh, you know, I can be a Christian without being part of a church or some religious organization. Of course you can. You just can't be mature. See, maturity comes when we enter into relationship with other people. And here's sort of the pushback I get from time to time. Well, you know, I don't need other people. Well, maybe it's not about you. Maybe it's about what God wants to do through you. It says in the book of Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. There's the old illustration. You remember when barbecues used to use briquettes. Any of you still have briquette barbecue? There are a few of you. Well, gosh, welcome to the century. We want to welcome you time. No, there are people who have those old ones. I used to have the old ones as well. Now I have a gas barbecue that doesn't work well at all. It's literally the meat is like frozen on the outside and then charred in the center. But the old briquettes, you used to put them all together. And I remember this as a kid because little boys are fascinated by fire. Isn't that true? It's sort of an obsession that starts when you're like 5 or 6 and sort of you get over it by the time you're 70 or 80. And so, yeah, we're always fascinated by fire. And the briquettes, they're really powerful when they're all together. But of course, you put them apart and they cool down really quickly. I've seen the same thing in a Christian life. I've seen people say, yeah, you know, I'm on fire for Jesus all by myself. I know you're going to cool down in your faith and you're going to walk away faster than you ever thought you would if you're just flying solo. See, my concern is as a pastor that you grow in your faith and experience really the best that Jesus has for you. And then number three, and this is what we're going to look at particularly today, and that's kingdom assignment. It's my firm belief that God has assignments for each of us as Christians. Look at what it says in 1 Corinthians 12:5. There are different kinds of service, and this is a partial verse, but the same Lord. I'll have to work this one here. And then it says in 1 Corinthians 12:27, now you are the body of Christ, and each of you is part of it. So we see those verses together in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It talks about how there's different types of ministries that we have, different types of giftings that we have. But each of us plays a significant part. And see, for some of us, we get this idea that, really, God uses the super spiritual. But you read the Bible, who God uses? He uses people who have made mistakes, people who are quirky. God uses all sorts of people. I'm so blessed to really be the pastor here at Timberlake. I forget sometimes how quirky I am. I'm invited to speak at other places, and I was talking at this one church about sexual purity. Not a bad thing. I mean, it's not an evil thing to talk about, how, honor God with your body. And I just shared an innocent story I've shared here before, how I was speaking at this other church in another state, and a guy came up with me, and he said, really, the problem with sexual purity for me is basically this demonic spirit. And he was describing the situation, how he was living together with his girlfriend, and they were sharing the same bed together. And he didn't think that was the reason why they were having sex outside of marriage. He thought that it was really he had this demon. And just in the kindest way I said, I could say, I just said, dude, there's no such thing as a horny demon. And they did not respond that well at that church. There was this one lady gave me a dirty look. She's looking at me, and then she's writing something down. Then she's like forgetting how to spell it. I'm like, I don't know how to spell horny. Anyway, but there's this idea that God really uses each of us, quirks and all. And in fact, oftentimes I see people who are putting on spiritual airs. And I'm really got it all together. I just never see them doing anything significant. Honestly, the people who look down at other people, no fruit to the ministry. It's the people who would say, God, thank you that you've invaded my life, that you would use someone like me. As we think about this, we can sometimes wonder, well, where's my place on the team? And we forget that our place is exactly where God has gifted us. There are a bunch of people on our Redmond campus who served in our Vacation Bible School. We've had about 750 kids involved in Vacation Bible School. We have it at Issaquah and Duval as well. And you ever wonder, why do we do that? Is that just entertainment? For children, something to do is to give parents a break. That's not bad. But the heart behind it, I want you to hear from a few people who have served in our Vacation Bible School and hear sort of the heart behind that ministry. Take a look at this.
Just introduces them to the life of Jesus in a really easy to understand.
Isn't that great, the people who serve? Want to give them a hand? You know, and everything we do is for a purpose. I've heard, every once in a while in the community, we're called the fun church. One lady said she was afraid that her child would come because then he'd want to come every week. Wouldn't that be horrible? See, we believe that it's so attractive to be in that relationship with Jesus, and that brings joy. So what I want to look at is our kingdom assignment together. I do this about once or twice a year because I know there's so many of you who are new to the church, and I just want you to know what we're about and what we're inviting each other to partner together in. Well, our mission, the mission we live out together, is to make more and better disciples of Jesus Christ. That it starts with a relationship with Jesus, but we're to grow in our faith. And how do we live that out by? How for us in particular? See, I think everyone, pretty much every church, would say something like our mission statement. And we live it out by, number one, keeping it about Jesus. Keeping it about Jesus. Anytime a person begins with Jesus, everybody in their life really wins. The only way to change the world, if you say, I want to change the world, wanting to change the world doesn't change the world. Changing the world really happens, I believe with all my heart, is when someone truly encounters not religion, but a relationship with Jesus Christ. This is how it always happened. Hospitals were invented almost by accident because a bunch of followers of Christ remembered that, oh yeah, Jesus healed people and he cared for people who were sick. Orphanages happened almost by accident because people remembered that Jesus said, let the little children come to me. Mechanical clocks were invented because there were a group of people, they wanted to remember times during the day to pray, some monks, and so they invented clocks. Almost all, in all society has benefited from that. Eyeglasses, because there were people who were reading the scriptures and they wanted to be able to read them, and so it was Christians who invented that. There was a Benedictine monk named Dom Perignon, and he wanted a way to celebrate, a drink to celebrate, and so he invented champagne because he wanted to celebrate, and there were no Baptists to tell him it was sinful to drink it at that time. And all of that is true. It really is. See what I'm saying is when we start with Jesus, the byproduct is incredible. But if you start with a byproduct, it won't lead to Jesus, because you'll get worn out. There's an interesting article. In fact, I wish I would have brought it. It was by someone who is not a Christian, who wrote, I think it was in the New Yorker, and he said, in some of his New York parties where people sort of dismiss, especially people who would be more serious evangelical Christians, he said, hey, I'm not a religious person at all, but as I look at the world, and I look at the people who are fighting human trafficking, who are going around the world making sure people have clean water to drink, who are caring for orphans, it is radically disproportionate to evangelical Christians, really more than all other folks combined. And see, it starts with this idea that Jesus matters. And the world was changed. We read in the book of Acts, It says, simply because every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts, they broke bread in their homes, and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added daily to the number of those who were being saved. And they were meeting needs all along the way. But it started with a person of Jesus. Another aspect of this, too, is speaking life. Speaking life, that it starts with the positive that God wants to do in our life. I was at 4th of July on the plateau, and as I was there, I don't usually take selfies because I'm not 15, but I took a selfie there because I wanted you to see this guy in the background. Yeah, I don't know if you can see it there. You deserve hell. I don't know if he made the sign just for me. And honestly, you say, are you making fun of him? Well, yes, I am. Here's the deal. I'm sure he thinks he's helping people, but I'm sure that not one person has ever come to know Jesus Christ because of that. And then honestly, it probably, see, the Bible says, speak the truth in love. And so if you're not speaking the truth in love, you're operating outside of how Jesus Christ wants you to operate. See, it always starts with the idea of, do I deserve hell? Yeah, I really do. My sin would separate me from God. Every once in a while, people say, well, God doesn't give me what I deserve. I'm glad that God doesn't give me what I deserve. See, he gives me grace in life. And the Holy Spirit convicts of sin. And sin is real, and we don't shy away from that at all at Timberlake. But do you know that the Holy Spirit is not outsourcing his job to anyone? That we are to say, there's a way out. There's a way of hope. It says in Proverbs 18:21, that the tongue has the power of life and death. And that we're to speak life. See, some of us, if I was going to be honest, you're in trouble in your marriage because you focus on the negative first and not the positive. And if that changed people, there would be a lot of happy people out there. But you know that people will do what you encourage them to do, what they're rewarded. And people, I've had this happen in my own life. I've shared this before, where someone's seen something in me that I couldn't even see in myself. And then it's like, I could become that? There are folks who are just trapped in all sorts of garbage. And they just need to know they don't, you know, you don't have to live that way. And maybe that's you. Maybe it's not them out there. Maybe it's you right here. And to know, no, you don't need to spend the rest of your life as a hostage to drugs or pornography or whatever it is for you. That God has a way out for you. Well, number three, it's about doing the basics. That we live out our mission, that all of us do the basics. See, the scripture says again and again that we're to go to a maturity in faith, but you don't start there. You have to do the basics. You have to do those things that really all of us as Christ followers should do, that we're praying together, worshiping together, serving together. We're investing in God's kingdom work. And then it says the result is in Ephesians 4:16, for from him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. And then it goes from doing the basics to number four, giving our A game. To giving our A game. You know, a lot of us are naturally competitive. I am a naturally competitive person. And I want to make sure I bring my A game to all things in life. I mean, the hard part about me being competitive is, it's hard in social settings. Like, hey, if we play a friendly game of something, hey, if we're playing a game, you're not my friend. If we're playing Uno, you go to the bathroom, I know what your cards are. If you're in line at the grocery store, 12 items or less, I count your items. You know, I'm a competitive person. I really am. It got so bad, my wife and I used to have people over for game nights, and we had to stop because the outcome was is that almost every time the people would leave the church. And I don't know if it was a merciless competition or the gloating afterwards, but it was pretty much the same. And, what if we took our intensity that some of us have, and we applied that to our faith? What if we said as followers of Christ, I'm in it to win it? 2014 is about half over. What if you said, you know what, I'm going to be a few steps closer to Jesus Christ in 2014? And that happens when we say, you know what, I give my work, I'm going to give that same intensity to my faith and to the ministry God's called me to. What I give to my hobby, my sports, how I'm with my finances. What if the focus was that? See here, sometimes we believe that we can't experience God in a profound way. And the truth is that we have just not taken that step far enough. Now, I'm not saying you earn salvation through your works. That's a gift of God, truly is. But you get the joy of faith when you're in it to win it. When you say, I'm going to give my A game for Jesus. I really am. It says in Matthew 16:25, this is in the Bible, it's not in your outline. It says, whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. And really that leads to number five, extending grace. Extending grace. This is what we do together. We extend the grace of Jesus Christ. That we know, as it says in Ephesians 1:7, it says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. That we have this great gift from God. And then it says in Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And the one who is wise saves lives. So the question is, are we going to try to fly solo? Or are we going to together say, God, use us. Do something not only in us, but through us. You know, I was looking over a list, and I'm going to probably share it later this fall, a little more in detail about when we have our 25th anniversary as a church. When I came here about 6 years ago, we were working on some projects together and hoping some things would happen. And I was just so in awe of what God had done, well beyond our expectations. But it happens when each of us says, it's not I'm going to serve Timberlake. Jesus, I'm going to serve you. And I happen to be at this place called Timberlake with my whole heart. Well, what does it mean to make the connect? I want to make this very practical. You heard already in the service about baptism. Baptism is declaring your identity. One of the things I love to hear are those stories of those who have said, you know what, I was a little bit nervous, but I decided to be baptized. In the Bible, it talks about as a believer, as an adult, or when you come to the age of decision, that after you say yes to Jesus, that you would identify with the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ through water baptism. And we make it easy for you. We don't have a six-week class because we don't see that there were six-week classes in the Bible. We just, you know, give you a little orientation about what it's about, celebrate with you. We give you a free T-shirt to wear. It's like the coolest T-shirt, I think, you know, and it's a dark colored one because otherwise some of you would wear white T-shirts to baptisms and cause all sorts of problems for us. But it really, you're saying, some of you don't even see what's wrong with that, and that's frightening. But it's the coolest shirt, and it says, I am made new. I was over at Mod Pizza, because I draw very close to Jesus when I'm there, and I just saw a big guy, and, you know, definitely a man's man, someone who I wouldn't want to make very angry, and he was wearing one of our T-shirts. It said, I am made new. And the truth is one of the greatest things that we can do together is say, I am made new, not through what I have done, but through what Jesus Christ has done in me. And so are you ready to declare your identity? You know, we could say, hey, the big first step is give all your money. And I'm open to that. I just want to let you know. See, it costs us money for you to be baptized. In fact, if too many of you want to be baptized, we could go broke. Because we just want you, I want you to grow closer to Jesus. So if you have not declared your identity, and by the way, it's a great thing when you're baptized. People who are like the most avowed atheists in the world will come watch you get baptized. I don't know why, it's just a weird thing that people come to that. And we'll have a message that'll make sense for them. Next weekend, if you put it off, you're not going to do it. And then membership, commit to community. See, I love it, and I always love it when people move from to the we statements from the you statements. Oh, you at Timberlake, you know? I'm like, whoa, you know? And really, no, we, this is what we do. And when you say, I commit to a community, and by the way, we have a membership seminar that's only like 2.5 hours long. It's going to be at our Redmond campus, 12:30. And we have this because we want you to know what it means. We want, you know, everything out, lights on, windows open. What do we believe? What are we about? And will you be on the team? And then number three is to serve, to make a difference. And I say this now, I know we're in the middle of summer, and some of you say, hey, I got a vacation coming. I'm not talking about a need next week. And in fact, I was visiting a church on my vacation, and it was really sad. It was like, if you don't serve, it's all going to come crashing down next week. And I'm like, not very motivating. If that's it, let it crash. What I'm talking about is you will make time to serve the cause of Jesus Christ on a regular basis. That you will say, if Jesus would go to the cross for me, then I can be part of the prayer team. Then I can be, maybe you're busy and you travel. I could be a substitute usher. I can go on one of our home build teams that go around the world or serve in our orphanages. Whatever it is, there's so many different opportunities. And I would say that if you've been around here for a while, I'm going to encourage you to take this step. I'm going to encourage you to not do something you're currently doing. If your schedule's too busy, stop doing something else to serve the cause of Jesus Christ. You say, well, is it just because there's not? There's about 1,000 adults that serve at Timberlake. We have, the percentage we have serving is amazing. This is just about your spiritual growth. And you'll never grow to maturity and joy in Christ until you say, Jesus, you're first in every aspect of my life, and that includes in my time. I know many of you, you are much more willing to write another check than you are to just give a little time. And it's about giving God full access to our life. See, I want to be part of God's mission. And as you're here, as you're part of the church, you are part of God's mission. And I love hearing those stories of people who are saying, you know what, I'd given up on God. I really didn't like that whole church thing. But then a friend invited me, but then I drove by, then I got a mailer, and then there were these crazy people who greeted me at the door, and then I started to hear. And before I knew it, I said yes to Jesus. Now, many of you served and gave so we could have a Duval campus. And I want you to hear one of the stories of someone who's come to know Jesus in a personal way from our Duval campus. Take a look at this.